The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pittsburgh has their two timeouts, so they may take it all the way down here and see if they can jump and get it free for themselves.
And there is a jump! Washington played it! Wilson celebrating. Steelers are going nuts on the sideline. Third and long. Wilson floats it way upstairs. Williams, he's got it! Touchdown! Mike Williams, the newest Steeler, scores!
What a win for the Steelers. It's a victory Monday. Best team they've played all year, and they beat them. Go on the road and beat him. And now Mark Abolian with us for the remainder of the show. And he's brought to us by Bet365. And Mark also brought to you by the injury lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, Western PA injury lawyers for over 90 years. I'm trying to think of the last regular season game that got me this jacked up. And it just hits me. It was Kenny Pickett beating the Baltimore Ravens on the touchdown pass in the waning moments to Najee Harris.
Mm-hmm.
He showed he could go on the road, beat the Ravens. And my thought was, if you're a Ravens fan, you go, oh, they got another one. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
We just got rid of Ben. They get this kid come in, and he's clutch. And that was the best I've ever felt about Kenny Pickett. And then we saw how everything went, and Matt Canada, blah, blah. That one felt good. Because it's not a game where you say, oh, they did this wrong, that wrong, this wrong, that wrong, this wrong. It's not a game against a subpar opponent that they had to squeak out. No, this was a 7-2 Washington team at their place with a rookie phenom and a really good head coach. So for me, it's one of the more memorable and more important Steelers regular season games in recent memory. And Mark, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, what was that crowd like? Because we had someone call in and say it was 75% Steelers fans. That sounds a little high. Yeah. What did you see with your own two eyes?
It was probably about 50-50. The problem was is they threw those burgundy towels in there, and they thought that was going to be the big counter of the terrible towels. Never did they realize that they're sitting in red seats. Everybody's wearing red or burgundy shirts or whatever they call
jerseys.
Them. Jerseys, that's what it is. And the gold of the terrible towel just sits out, so it stood out so much more than it should have. It was just a total failure of going with the burgundy towels here. They're going to have to – I mean, all these teams, I've been to so many road games, and everybody breaks out their version of a towel, and it just doesn't work. Saying that, it was probably 50-50. There was a lot of people there. I said this on the pregame show yesterday. The only stadium you go to, or at least I can recall you go to, and it's not that type of a swing of Steeler fans, is Baltimore. That's at Baltimore, you're looking – if you're looking 90, 95% Baltimore fans, that's probably what it is. Other than that, it's pretty typical
mm-hmm.
of what we saw there.
Was it loud?
Not really. That place is a dump.
It is. We were saying that on Friday.
You told me on Friday that's the worst turf that you ever played on.
Worst in the stadium ever.
And it's 2024 and guys are still falling down.
Yep.
The broadcaster going to half said guys are going to need to change their cleats. How? I don't understand how that happens. But that's not, it's not a big deal. Everyone came away healthy, and I don't think the injuries the Steelers did suffer had anything to do with the turf. All right, Mark. One key takeaway. What was your biggest takeaway out of that game?
Well, that's a tough one. There's so many takeaways you can go with, but I would have to say the acquisitions of Mike Williams and Preston Smith paid dividends right away with very few snaps, and now you don't have to spend the next couple of weeks questioning why they would go and get a guy like that. So I think to be able to bring quality players, and especially with when you look at a guy like Preston Smith where you're going to need him now, moving forward with Alex Highsmith. I saw him in the locker room, and he was on crutches, and he looked like, I mean, everybody saw the injury. It doesn't look promising.
No.
So I think the takeaway was, first of all, being able to come back to like that with down 10 with maybe a quarter and a half left.
Yep.
Plus who was able to do it too. I mean, they took away a lot of stuff, man. Normally, if that running game would happen like that in any other game, they would lose. But they stuck to it, man. They only averaged, what, 3.5 a carry, if that? But they ran the ball 42 times. You don't see that very often. I mean, so it was – I mean, I hate this cliched here, but it sounded like a team win. Everybody really, really took part in this victory, from the head coach all the way up to the GM down to the, you know, the punter.
Thoughts on the fake punt and the timing of
it? I love it.
Me too.
I mean, at that point, I mean, I don't know how they showed it on TV because I haven't been able to watch
poorly.
It back yet. I mean, you saw it in – And when they motioned in like that, James Pierre was out there within 35 yards. And he said after the game, we've done this so many times in practice this week, and I caught it every single time. I don't know what happened here. So I don't care what part of the field that was at. I don't really care. You're a professional athlete. The ball is wide open. And you drop it. I mean, if it in hindsight's, you know, 2020, it probably makes a big difference in the game if they do just punt it away. But I would do it again. I totally agree with Tomlin. Do it again.
And I buy that when he says it. Yeah. Like, I think you are going to see more of that going forward.
Well, he's changed, huh? He's letting it all hang out, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. I call him like the George Costanza right now, doing everything opposite of what he normally did.
Well, and you know what it is, and Doran, you brought this up earlier. You say, hey, you still have faith, even if it doesn't work, that you can win the game. And I think that's him having a ton of faith. And yeah, his defense maybe hold him to a 3 if you fail. Or Russell Wilson is going to win us a game, and he has faith in Arthur Smith. And I don't think, you would think, hey, we want to steal possessions back when it was Kenny.
Yes.
Back when it was Trubisky.
Yes.
But now it's, we're going for the jugular now, because even if we fail, we've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback that we've got faith in. Okay, we can screw this up and still go out and get the victory.
Yeah, Mark, I feel like that was a statement. Like, hey, we'll spot you 7. If we don't execute this, we'll spot you 7 points. We still feel good about winning the game.
I don't think they call. I mean, you're more of a special teams guru than me, right? You played it your entire career. That's not saying, hey, we're going to go and run a fake punt. And they're going to say, if this guy comes in, this guy's wide open, we're going with it.
Yeah.
If not, we're kicking it. It's
right,
not like
right.
He said, fake punt on one, ready, go.
No, they saw something during the week in practice with the Commanders. Like, if this guy does motion in, hey, we have a check where, you know, Kilber, you're going to throw it.
I noticed right away, as soon as you motion in, 99 out of 100 times, Pierre comes in with him.
Right.
I mean, then he doesn't. Right. Then you're looking like, what's going on here? This doesn't make any sense. And that's the case.
I think that, Doran, you made the best case for why it made sense now for a second time on the show. It should surprise nobody that me, Adam Crowley, the eternal pessimist, hated it because I live in my fears. Because I think about, oh, God, you got Killebrew throwing the James Pierre. That's a guy who shouldn't be able to throw to a guy who really can't catch. So at the 15-yard line, I didn't like it. But I do hear your guys' points. And I do think the team loves that stuff. Like, oh, we're going for it on the 15-yard line? We came here to win. I do think that kind of thing resonates, and you can't downplay that.
This is not even a play that was contested. It's not like this had to happen, this had to happen. Only thing that had to happen was whoever the gunner was out there was comes in and he was going to block it. I mean, you're
Did you see them work on it? Did you see them do that in practice this week?
They've been doing it a lot,
yeah.
But it's just briefly. Yeah, but you see it over a couple of weeks here. But, I mean, back to your original one of your points about Tomlin letting it all hang out here, and he's going for it. Now this is the big key coming up now. Because he normally holds it close to the vest of Baltimore.
Oh,
now, if he lets it go there, then we got a new Mike Tomlin on our hands.
That's a really good point.
That is a good point. Because you know how Harbaugh is, too. They're going to try to play that guessing game with each other. This is the absolute like coaching matchup. I mean, we know that, and they're so close in their career. They're basically the same guy. But this, on Sunday, it's going to be like, all right, who's going to outsmart the other one, or who's going to try to outsmart the other one, and the other one's going to actually play conservative and not try to get outsmarted? Like, it's going to be a chess game.
Yeah, because I look at this, and usually Mike Tomlin is thrilled to drag the Ravens into a rock fight, and typically Harbaugh outthinks himself. I don't think that's how you beat the Ravens this year. I think you got to throw the ball. Cincinnati threw it 60 times. Now, I'm not saying the Steelers should or will do that, but you might have to put the ball in the air 40 times. Because they're not just bad, they're abhorrent on the back end. And if you play it where you're going to run the ball more than you throw it, I think you're playing into Baltimore's hands because they can stop the run. You got to throw and score points to beat Baltimore this week. You're right, Mark. This is a big tell on how much Mike Tomlin has changed this year.
I hope it is they throw because they want to, not because they have to. You know, you get down, you have to match them score to score, have to match them score to score. I hope that they don't try to deflate the ball and minimize possessions.
Agreed, because they, quote-unquote, had to throw in the second half in this game and didn't.
Yep.
Like, you're down 10 points midway through the third. Usually, you're airing that thing out. And they just kept running the football. Mm-hmm. They kept running the damn ball. I think it's encouraging. We've talked about this a bunch this morning, Mark. No tackles, no sacks for T.J. Watt. Lose the turnover battle. Fumble on the goal line, screw up a fake punt, still won the game.
Yep.
I think that's the mark of a good team. Not perfect.
Look at Kansas City, finds ways to win.
Yep.
Detroit last night played awful for three quarters of that game, found a way to win. And it's at some point do you look and say, okay, they're just getting by, they're scraping through, or, hey, we got something here. I'm at the point where it's like, you know, they might have something here. This just does feel like a different team to me right now. But these next two games in 10 days are very important where they go from here. But I think they might be on to something.
How about that? That's like Eeyore got laid.
I mean, honestly.
What?
What?
We always, you walk in here, you're like, Eeyore, oh, woe is me. Oh, the Steelers aren't that good. Now you're saying they might have something.
I think they might have something right here. I mean, like I said before, the George Costanza effect. Do everything opposite, man. Instead of saying with Justin Fields, you're going with Russell Wilson. You're bringing in Arthur Smith. You're playing offense rather than relying on your defense. Danny Smith's doing well. I mean,
do you think Mike Tomlin is operating this way because of the message from above or just because of him?
That's a good question.
It's a really good
question. I do not know this.
That's a Marconi question.
I don't think that Art would say, hey, you got to do this.
He did say urgency in the beginning of the year, and they did resign Mike Tomlin, but
now it's working now, so it's easy to do it now.
It's not, I don't think it needed to be explicitly stated. Like Art says, hey, Mike, here's how you got to operate. But they fired his coordinator mid-season last year and got rid of two quarterbacks, and the words, at least publicly, were urgency, and you got to win a playoff game. So if Mike doesn't get the message through all that, he ain't going to get the message. And it does look like he did. You bet your quarterback at 4-2, who had done some really nice things, you got a different goal in mind. It's not just let's make the playoffs and win football games. No, let's go win the division and then see what happens. That's a good question by you.
Marconi.
Marconi. He might have said, hey, Mike, here's how we got to go about business. But I'm guessing that it was unspoken between the two of them. And Mike's just understanding the situation.
I mean, Art could just be like, listen, Mike, like I have full faith in you and full trust in you. Go for it. Like if it backfires, then fine, we'll live with it. but just go for it. I have trust in you to make all the decisions, but just be aggressive and try to go for it whenever you make these decisions. I could see that conversation.
And there is a decision that was, or that talk did happen. It probably happened in February.
You know? Yeah, back in the, yeah.
It's nothing that's recent.
No.
They're saying this is how we're going to approach it. So this is how we're approaching the free agency, and this is how we're approaching our attack. I mean, bringing in a couple of those coaches too, aren't, I mean, Zach Azzani and Tom Arth, and bringing in Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith's done a great job.
You can't really sleep on that. And what you're seeing now from Arthur Smith is now he's getting more and more comfortable with what he's doing. So I don't know. I don't know if they're quite there in the same conversation as Chiefs. I'm not a big Bills fan because I think the Bills are a one-trick pony. It's a pretty impressive trick, but I think they can be beat. But you're looking at the top five team in the NFL right now. And we'll see. So can't complain of where you're at right now. I like it.
I want to talk more about Arthur Smith when we come back. He's done a masterful job. And that's a strong word, but I really think he has. We'll talk about defensive takeaways from this football game. Much, much more as Mark Caboli joins us until 10. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan Morning Show, as always, brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This song hits different on a Victory Monday. It is 9:21. Time to make the call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5601. Real quick. So Callis and I were carrying all the stuff to the tailgate, and I was in the process of throwing my back out. Well, I get a call from my wife. She had to hold our baby so the baby would sleep. And my other daughter was there, and she's like, I don't know what to do with her. I said, I'm just putting her in front of the TV. She said, okay, we'll set the Guardian alarm. Well, I did, and then after the kid woke up, my wife takes the dog out, sets off the alarm. She didn't have her phone. The police showed up.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That happened to me the other night, too.
Set the alarm off?
Well, yeah, we were cooking, and it was, I forget what we were cooking, but the smoke from the cooking set off the smoke alarms, and they called and were like, hey, do we need to show up at your house? I'm like, oh my gosh, we're just cooking.
No, we're good.
Fine,
I just can't
thank
cook.
Thank you. That's good to know that you guys, like, they was.
You have trouble with those alarms, don't you, Crowley?
No, that's so what I was going to say is I love the idea of within 3 minutes,
yes,
the cops show up at my house.
Quick.
So if something really was going on and I'm not there, you know, as a super strong masculine guy to fight off an assailant, cops will be there.
Well, didn't you have issues at your last tailgate where you couldn't locate your car?
Yeah, Crowley doesn't have a problem with the alarm. He has a problem with summoning the police unnecessarily.
Yeah, I did call the cops on my mother-in-law once. I think that might be
no,
where you're
no, it's to. Not. It's whenever you called the cops because you thought somebody stole your car and it was parked in a different lot down the street.
That's what it was.
And the cops got mad at you because that was ridiculous in the South Side.
That's three times now, at least stories you've told us.
And once when I was a kid where my babysitter said, hey, can you call my mom? She said she'd bring over the hockey sticks or whatever. I said, okay, yeah, sure. What's the number? And he goes, 9. I'm like, okay, 1. Okay, all right. 1. Okay. And he goes, that's it. And I hit send. And then the police showed up.
That's a babysitter. That's messed up.
Yeah. Dave Duty was his name. And a serviceman. Excuse me, a veteran. Happy Veterans Day to all the vets out there for serving our country.
How about a guy whose name is Duty is
a veteran?
I think that's what you have to do. Yeah. If your last name is Duty or like penis, you have to do something masculine with your life.
Right, or Dickerson.
Yeah, and so you played football for your entire life.
I thought that's where you were getting at.
Yeah, that was the obvious joke, and I missed it. What is wrong with me today? Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Hey, turns out Arthur Smith was the right hire, huh?
Yes.
It's almost like some people were saying that. They're scoring 24 points a game, and that's playing six games with the backup quarterback. They're a point away from being in the top 10 in the NFL. They're averaging 30-plus points in the three games Russell Wilson has started. Great hire, and he could have easily gone away from the run in this football game. And I don't know still. And in fact, I think they can't hold up in traditional passing protection. Like, there were times early in the game where they wanted to throw the football, and I thought Russ was in trouble and in trouble quickly. So you know what they did? They just kept running the ball, and eventually the dam broke, and then you were able to throw effectively off of that. I can't say enough good things, frankly, about Arthur Smith. I think he's done an awesome, awesome job.
Yeah, he was kind of limited early with the Justin Fields and some of the things that they pulled back on, and he was able to be successful through that. But I just like to can't wait to see where he takes it from here because, you know, he has the running backs. I mean, Warren and now Harris, what they split like 50-50 yesterday. Once again, the tight ends. I mean, when would you ever think that Darnell Washington would have more snaps than Freiermuth?
Yeah.
That's what it was yesterday.
Wow.
They're going three tight ends. They're hammering it. They can throw off it. Just like I said, it seemed like there was a plan put in place in March, and they're just following through on it. I mean, it was a plan. This is what we want to do, and let's stick to it. And now they have the people to be able to stick to it with.
Well, they also, like you just said too, kind of, they've altered the plan, and that takes a lot as well. Whenever Justin Fields was the quarterback, like, I'm sure that wasn't the original plan, and Arthur Smith had to get in the lab and actually change probably what they wanted to do to fit Justin Fields, but not expose him too much and win football games, as you just said, Mark, and then go back to the original plan and having Russ, you know, take over. I'm sure that it helps with Russ. You know, being an offensive coordinator, you want to have a veteran quarterback that can actually play and knows the game and can see things and helps you out. It's like having an assistant. You know, I mean, they meet today or whatever, and Russ is like, all right, well, you know, it's Ravens week. This is what I like. Okay, this is what I like. And, you know, Russ, I trust you doing this. And, you know, we're going to set it up, and we're going to give a call and try to set it up. You know, as the picture is, we're going to set this up. But, Russ, you have the leeway to see what you see and change it and get into what we want to get into. Like, that is – That means a lot.
It's a big deal.
It means a lot to Mike Tomlin, too.
Well, look at the game-winning play. He saw Mike Williams over there. He goes, no, over here. This is a better matchup for you. And, I mean, just something like that, that's not coming from the sidelines. That's coming from 12 years of experience.
Yep.
Do you think Mike Williams will be their number two wide receiver?
I think it's going to be just like it is. I think all of them are going to get, you know, snaps. I don't think there's going to be one guy that's going to – I mean, Van Jefferson, I think, had, what, 50-some? He had the second most. So I think obviously it will creep up from nine. That's obvious. But I don't think there's going to be a defined number two, three, or four.
Will he be the most effective receiver outside of George Pickens?
I don't know. I don't think so. If Mike Williams can do what he did yesterday, I mean, I know that's –
Do you know how many snaps he played?
Who?
Nine?
Williams. Nine.
Well, first target, ninth snap of his Steeler career is a game-winning touchdown. It's not a bad start to his Steelers career here. So, I don't remember what you were asking there. Cause
number two wide receiver.
Interrupted me there.
Will he be the most productive receiver outside of Pickens?
I think he'll have roles. I think there will be definitely certain things that he's good at that the other guys aren't. I'm still not 100% down on Van Jefferson.
Me neither.
He's a guy who can get down the field as well. You got three guys can really stretch the field, and if you get and how Russ throws the ball, and those three can get down the field, four with Calvin Austin, and be able to run off of that. I mean, you got something there. So I don't think there's really going to be a pecking order. But you know, I think it's kind of funny though. I was looking at some of the snap counts that I guess the George Pickens had 80-some, I guess the load management's gone by the wayside.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, sure
no more load management?
Yeah, there's no more.
He's gotten up to speed.
Boy, does he not look the part as a number one now, though.
I mean, that's another thing. Would you pay him? I was questionable if I would do that, but now it's like, man, how can't you? You get a quarterback in there and get him the ball, and that's why he loves it. Yeah, at any possibility, he'll bring it up. What he likes about Russ. Russ trusts his players and just gets the ball, you know, near me. You know, he's basically just throw it up. I'll go get the ball.
Mason did it too. And when he's had competent quarterback play, he's put up numbers. Real quick, I'm just scrolling through Twitter here. And Roethlisberger's podcast was live at the end of the game. And him reacting to the hard count is awesome. He jumps out of his chair. He's throwing fist bumps. That was as big a sideline reaction as you're ever going to get. Like, half the team came onto the field getting fired up, and Russ started doing this thing. It was a great moment.
I think I saw Tomlin mouth that, though. Whenever they called the timeout, I saw him mouth that, like, hard count.
Yes.
I mean,
make him jump, I think he said.
You could be the dumbest football analyst out there and didn't think they were going to snap the ball there. I was saying, there is no way they're snapping this ball. There's not one person in this entire stadium that thinks they're going to snap this ball, except 95.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? And they're trying to play it off like, yeah, we were going to run the ball. And Najee said, Tom, you'll never know. Russ, well, we'll keep it. No, Zach Frazier and Mason McCormick goes, nah, we were just doing hard.
I do love how the two old heads, Tomlin and Russ, were like, I guess you'll never know. Wow, it's a mystery. And then the two rookies are like, oh, yeah, we were never running a play. There's no chance we were running a play. All right, coming up next, let's talk a little bit about the defense. T.J. Watt, his impact was felt despite statistically not having a great game. That and more. I can't get enough of that. Mike Williams celebrating on the field after the game. One more time.
Let's go, man. Gotta go.
Got the dub. What now, a third of the wins the Jets have? And you come over here and you get to make the play of the game and you're a hero? There's going to be a ticker tape parade for Mike Williams today.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Happy for him. I've heard he's a good guy, too. And that's a bad situation for anybody in New York with the way that that football team is playing. But let's flip things over now to the defense, where I think you got to opponent adjust some stuff. Like, anytime the Steelers give up 27 points, people get mad. Now, they won the game, but they held Washington under all their season averages. They only gave up 242 total yards. They only gave up 60 rushing yards to a team that was averaging darn near 160. 2.7 yards a carry, 5 yards to Jaden Daniels. I think they played well. They made the tackle on 4th and 9 at the end of the game. Keanu Benton had a huge play. Patrick Queen, I thought, was all over the field. On its surface, 27 points. You think maybe the defense didn't play all that well. I think it was a good defensive performance by the Steelers.
Well, they spotted them 7, too. So let's take that away.
That too. They had a short field goal drive, a short field goal drive, and a 15-yard touchdown drive. So you're allowed to bow up in the situation and only allow a field goal or take the ball away after the turnover. But, yeah, I mean, that's a bad place to put the defense. And they made winning plays down the stretch, didn't give up a point in the fourth quarter.
Still, that's one thing you want to come away for this game a little bit, not disappointed, but we like to see better is the defense in general. And not only that, is some of the more of the long plays, once again that's popping up. And that's something you just can't do in the NFL. You can't give up those big plays.
Well, the one long catch and run, Minka totally whiffs on a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you they have him playing back there to mitigate and stop those big-time plays, and he didn't do it in that situation.
Yeah.
First drive of the second half.
I mean, the pressure wasn't there. They're getting rid of the ball pretty quickly. But on the flip side of that, I mean – their number one running back wasn't in the game. He was out.
Neither
there,
tackle.
But the right tackle was out of the game as well. So, but they pretty much kept Daniels in check. I mean, he really didn't hurt them with his legs as much as you can. And I mean, you take the T.J. Watt, you add the T.J. Watt potential safety, that maybe that changes things up again. But I think if that's one part of the game that needs tightened up over the last couple of weeks, it is the defense. I'm not quite worried about that because they have so much talent there. It's just a matter of going out there and doing it. It's going to provide an interesting challenge this week.
Yeah, so I was just about to ask you, how is that going to look?
I don't know, because it's different. I mean, the way that the Ravens have been successful in the past against the Steelers was running the ball. And, I mean, Gus Edwards and people that you never heard of run for decent yards. And now you got some horse with 10 days off coming into town. It's not going to be easy. So I don't know how you could do that. Normally they go with the bigger front, you know.
The linebackers.
They can do that now.
Mark Robinson, remember they did that last year.
But look, yes. I mean, speaking of a guy that is probably will be absolutely jacked up for this game and has been playing very well lately is Patrick Queen, man. There's not a bigger trash talker in this world than Patrick Queen. And he's starting to really play well. Can you imagine what he's going to be?
Oh, my gosh.
How fired up he's going to be for this Ravens game. And he could be that X factor that, you know, keeps Lamar in the check. You see how quick he is from sideline to sideline. You hear it, but then you see it.
Yeah.
It's like, holy, my goodness. You haven't seen that since Shazier.
I would think, too, and we talked about this earlier, Doran, that if Herbig is back and healthy – and it seems like he's tracking that way. No. I mean, I still think you're going to see a healthy dose of Preston Smith, because if there's one thing that worries you about Herbig, it's his run defense.
Yeah. I mean, Preston Smith is a big guy. Was he 260?
70.
270? He's a bigger guy. So, I mean, once again, you got him for nothing. Literally nothing.
Honestly, he already was worth the value.
Yep. Yes. Already.
Yeah. That play, first play of the fourth quarter, 11-yard loss. And that affected really the rest of the fourth quarter, because they were on the Steelers' 40-yard line. They could have gotten a field goal range. That play, if he didn't blow it up, could be a touchdown, too. That's a hell of a play by him.
How important that position is to the Steelers, the outside linebacker, and how many injuries they've had over the past couple of years. And, you know, it looks like Highsmith's going to be out for a while, and Watt's been hurting Herbig, and they don't want to go with Moon and Ade and Adu or whatever their names are. So what a pickup, like I said. I mean, he's not coming back next year at that price. So don't even look at the $12.1 million and the $12.6 the next 2 years. That's a guarantee he's not coming back for there. You're giving up a seventh-round pick for that? Well, it's great. But, yeah, I think he'll play. I think they both will play. I think Herbig will be back. But you're going to have to pretty much ease him in, because he's missed so much time as well.
Concern level for JPJ.
He's by far the best corner they have.
Well, there's no question about that. Is that good?
I would be more concerned about Dante Jackson than you're going with James Pierre. I don't know how long you can continue to do that.
Well, I think they probably moved Cam Sutton outside, right?
Sutton's another one. Inside. He just came in and made some plays yesterday as well. And that's what makes him, I think, I don't know if they would do that so soon to move him on the outside.
You kind of have to, right?
Yeah, pretty much you're going to have to if Jackson. And once again, another hamstring injury. Oh, my goodness. How many soft tissue injuries has this team had this year?
It's bad. It's around the league, too. I saw some people tweeting about it, too.
I think the Steelers are
the leader.
Leader in the clubhouse. Not even in the clubhouse.
Think about what Baltimore can now do to you, though. Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and Deontay Johnson, who, although he hasn't been productive for Baltimore so far, you know what he's capable of. They can spread you out and run it. And that's when teams have had success on the Steelers this year. Spread them out and run that thing. And how you match up your corners on Baltimore's three receivers, and then you still got to deal with the tight end. Baltimore's a lot better offensively than they've been at any point.
Yeah.
Like in the team's history.
I don't know if Likely will be back, but I think he's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But he was out last week, and Andrews is picking it up. I mean, this might be a 38-36 game. I mean, that's probably more points than they've scored.
Washington's defense is head and shoulders better than Baltimore's, too.
Baltimore's just a disaster.
It's so bad.
You remember that the talk of Roquan Smith or Patrick Queen needing Roquan Smith?
Yes.
It might have been the other way
around. Roquan hasn't done anything this year.
No. No, Patrick Queen, especially the way he's come on late, has been the better player. Yeah. And when Roquan came to Baltimore at the deadline, he changed that defense. They went from to a bona fide Super Bowl quality defense. Now you take out Queen. Kyle Hamilton, we'll see if he plays. He did have extra days.
He's huge.
If they don't have him, I mean, they've had him, and they have the worst secondary in the league. I mean, that's a massive miss. See, look at this. Look at this. Is that where we're reacting?
It's Monday. We're getting going. We're ready for Ravens week. Yep.
It does feel like the first time in a long time that Steelers-Ravens is Steelers-Ravens. Like, these are by far the two best teams in the division. I think the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender. I think the Ravens absolutely have a Super Bowl quality offense. It's for a lot of the marbles at Acrisure Stadium.
We're talking about the Steelers. I mean, you lose this game, and all of a sudden, you're not in first place anymore.
And
that's how fragile it is.
And then you got a short week going to Cleveland. Imagine if they had lost yesterday. And then you win by 1 point, you lose. you could be on the precipice potentially of losing two in a row.
Can I go back to my Eeyore take here?
Go ahead.
I think they're going to lose their next two games.
If they lose to Baltimore, they're not losing to Cleveland.
Why are you saying that?
Well, I think the short week in Cleveland, I mean, Cleveland's going to play them tough. I know Cleveland has nowhere near as much talent as they are.
I don't know that Cleveland
they
plays
lost to Dorian Thompson Robinson last year, so anything's possible.
Who was the quarterback? Did they have the same?
Anything's possible.
Did they have the same offensive coordinator?
Hey, throw the records out the window, right?
No.
I'm throwing it out there.
No.
I don't know. These next two games, I will tell you right now, if they win against Baltimore and Cleveland, I will come on the air and say this team will make it to the Super Bowl.
What?
Whoa.
I will go out on a limb.
Okay.
Someone just texted in back to Killjoy Caboli. That's Jim from Omaha. Well, he might want to rescind that.
Wow.
These are the two most important games
now.
They were waiting for
one piece of negativity from me, wasn't he? Old Jim in Omaha.
Well, you did just say they're going to lose.
He was on it like this.
He was.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like every two-game increment for the rest of the season is the most two important games of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Because it was Washington and Baltimore. Right. Now, all of a sudden, it's Washington.
You're a game and a half ahead of Baltimore at 9-2. I like my chances regardless.
If you beat Baltimore, then the next time they take the football field, you are up on them two games in the standings because they're going to be off. And then they got to take on the Chargers and the Eagles. This game, massive. Obviously, I'm not saying what anybody doesn't know. You're right. It's massive. If you win, I think you win the division. If you lose, you still have a chance, obviously, but that's how important this game is.
All of a sudden, those first three games of the Steelers seem a little bit tougher now.
Yep.
Right? The Atlantas, the Denvers, and the Chargers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why I hate projecting schedules when they come out.
Yeah, they have, if they were putting together a college football playoff resume, the Steelers got a good one. Those first three games, as you mentioned, this game on the road, and
Colts, that bad, I guess.
No, they're game, right? They're one game out of a playoff spot. And okay, you lose to a bad Dallas football team, but you lose by three. Yeah, we got a pretty good resume.
That's sort of like losing to Virginia.
Why would you? See, I didn't even do that.
Look at the look he's giving me.
I didn't even do that.
I meant West Virginia.
Oh. Okay. Steelers' strength of victory is at 456. Which is better than all but one playoff team right now in the AFC. And it is the fourth best in the entire conference.
How many teams have a better record than the Steelers? Have more wins than them? Only one, right?
I'm on it.
Lions and Chiefs, maybe two.
Yes, two.
That's only two teams that have more wins than the Steelers right now.
Vikings. They only lost two
Chiefs
games.
Have nine, Detroit eight, Buffalo eight.
Buffalo 8-2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you would take that about 2 months ago, right?
You're going to take that whenever. We got Social Media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. That's coming up next.
Don't get this. They have one completion. That was a field goal range.
Yeah, what do you guys think? I'm so nervous.
I'm not watching.
There it is.
Game over. Got him!
You had one job.
You had one job. Stay on sides.
Ben Roethlisberger and Spence reacting in real time to Russell Wilson's hard count and Newton jumping off sides, and that's not Social Media's Biggest Loser, but it's something we saw on social media, and that's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Everyone had the same reaction. I'm in my living room, and generally, like, West Virginia is different. I'm losing my mind during games, no matter how bad they are, whatever. Steeler games, I'm working. I think of myself as a businessman, Doran.
Mm.
I went nuts. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. What do you do?
I screamed. I was like, I can't believe they got him.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
You got one job. One job.
I mean, don't you go in the huddle there and say, yes, don't jump, don't jump, don't jump.
100 times.
I mean.
During the timeout, too.
I mean, you have to say.
All his teammates were real nice. They were real nice to him. You know, they were all giving him a head pat. I would have slapped him upside the head.
You'd have punched him in the throat like the long snapper at the 49ers.
Yeah, was it Debo Samuel punches long snapper
well,
in the throat?
What was the guy's name? He had a weird first name, so he probably deserved to get punched in the throat.
I forget his name.
That's nice. That's good.
That's not nice.
Like Darren Riz, the head coach of the Saints who clogged the toilet. The Rizler.
Riz.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a lot of Riz? Is that a word that the kids use nowadays? What's that mean?
You got Riz.
I have no Riz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Riz is.
Charisma?
Riz? No, man. Only charisma that's I have
that's what it is. It's pony. Riz. Charisma. Riz.
Yeah, come on. Pony tweeting out a picture of me like looking like I'm crapping my pants.
Real quick, 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I would agree. When you are in the background, when you are interviewing guys,
it's every time.
It looks like the sun's in your face.
Yeah, it's
you're
every
like,
time.
You're squinting your eyes, your teeth.
Your stomach hurts.
Not all of us is as perfect as Adam Crowley. I'm sorry.
But what's going on there?
I'm trying to squint to hear because his head's turned the other way.
What do you need to squint to hear for?
I told you, I'm not very good at controlling my facial expressions.
Mark,
I need to squint to hear.
Doran, sometimes when Mark is like, you know, up in the press box and he's trying real hard to see what's going on the field, he cups his ears. He tries to get his ears ready so he can see better.
I'm trying to squint to hear. What?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, what is he saying?
You should see
that. You turn your head?
All the like, he eats a bite of like a filet mignon. He wants to taste it. He closes his eyes. Wants to get a good taste of that. Strange man, this Mark.
Is that callus laughing in there?
Yeah.
I got a squint to hear.
He does the thing with his teeth.
I'm sorry. Next time I will be more aware of my surroundings. You remember the Deontay Johnson last year when he said the refs are
and you
cheating
went, ooh.
For me. I was like, geez, what are you doing?
That was a good
that was every, I didn't know about that until I woke up at 3 in the morning. I'm getting millions of texts. I'm like, uh-oh.
The best one of all time is when Tim Benz asked Mike Vick if how he sleeps at night, and Mark looks at me and goes, oh. All right, Starkey's up next. We have taken enough of your time today. We're back at it at 5:40. Thank you, Mark. Good stuff having Callis back. And Doran, we nailed this show today.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mark.
War-winning stuff right there. All right, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 60.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.